And welcome back. The creator of the Hat Man is with us, and Shadow People, Heidi Hollis, she named it, and now she's plagued by it. But we're going to come back and talk more with her and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Heidi Hollis. Heidi, have you ever been physically harmed by these entities?
Personally, I have not, luckily. But I've known many of people that have been scratched, pushed, shoved. But yeah, no, I've been fortunate in that department, thank God. But, you know, the horror kind of scars you, though. It really does.
Oh, I bet. How about anybody killed? Has that ever happened?
I'm pretty certain because, I mean, these entities are trying to cause harm when they shove people downstairs. I mean, some people might have died, and we sure wouldn't hear about it. But, yeah, I'm pretty certain. I know that I've had people who've told me that, you know, they've been plagued with a Hat Man or something like that, and they weren't suicidal, only to find themselves in the hospital and them being told that they attempted suicide. It's like, I know it had to be him because he threatened it. He said he was going to make me do that type of thing, but I sure didn't do it. And, you know, here they're dubbed as a suicidal person ever since, you know. It's really sad.
It is sad. It's also scary, isn't it?
It is. To not have that control, to have this guy do this. I know I've mentioned on your show some time ago about a little girl who was strung up by her throat through her bunk bed. I mean, a little girl wouldn't try to commit suicide that way, but sure did look like it. Except that her head wouldn't, or her body wouldn't fit through.
Was she okay?
Slaps. Yes, she is. Thank God.
Well, now, what did she say? Was she a witness to this?
She was a witness to the Hat Man coming nightly to her bedroom, and her mother didn't believe her. Her mother took the light bulb out of her light because she kept it on every night. And she said, this tall guy is saying he's going to get me. And mom had a party and locked her daughter in the room so she wouldn't come out. And they went to go check on her and found her. She was like 8 or 7 years old, and her body was hanging through the wooden slabs on her bunk bed, and her head was on the other side.
Oh, geez.
Her mother had to get two guys from the party to break apart the bunk bed and resuscitate her. And with her first words, she screamed, "He got me." Mom believed her after that and wouldn't let her sleep alone, and then they moved, and she never experienced him again. But, I mean, he made a little girl look like she was trying to kill herself, you know, strung her up by her neck. I mean, that's just so sick and twisted. And people are on this sleep paralysis kick. I'm like, sleep paralysis doesn't shove your body of a little girl through the slabs of a bunk bed.
Do you think an exorcist would be able to assist and help?
You know, it does get to a level sometimes with people, depending on their behavior. If there's a lot of argument, a lot of different things going on, they are out of control. Yeah, I think that some of these people get to the level of possession where they do need an exorcism and a blessing of the house. That's a start, but they're going to have to go from within, and they need help to get that thing out.
Let's take some calls here for you, Heidi. Let's go to Paul in Boston, Mass. To get things started. Hey, Paul, go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi there.
You took the words right out of my mouth, George. An exorcism, you know, when you buy a house, whether it's new or a house that's been lived in, the Christian way generally is they have a minister or a priest come in and bless the house.
Yes.
And you'd be surprised. It does change things. But I had security in a large building, and every night I had the same routine. But on a Thursday night, when I started walking this whole acre and a half of building to make sure alarms were set and doors were locked and so forth, I would have an entity would pick me up about half the route. And I just keep moving down, and he would stay off to the side. I wasn't something discernible that I could see, but I could feel it. And it would follow me all the way around. So I went through the last door and double locked it, and that was it. Every Thursday night. Now, it could have been that there was it was Revolutionary Wall. I don't know. There was old stone walls from the Revolution. And I'm sure that was a battleground area in that area.
Wow. Disturbing stuff. My goodness.
At least he's safe.
Yeah, exactly. And nothing worse happened. Goodness, because so many people are not so lucky.
Do you think if you weren't the one that coined the phrase Hat Man that we'd even have this issue? Maybe you conjured this thing up, Heidi.
You know, I put the image of him on my website, and people were reacting and responding, and I knew pretty early on that this guy was different than shadow people, but every time I went to look into the topic, something horrible would happen or a lot of nightmares to people around me, and they knew it was connected to me, and I'd get these phone calls. Heidi, what are you working on? Could you please stop? I can't sleep. And it's like, oh, so I kept backing off, and yeah, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. He's been around for a long time, but sometimes I can't help but to think and know that there's a contagion element to it. People that say, you know, I was okay. He had come in my life before, and I feel like he's watching me now because I heard you on the radio or something. And it's like, oh, gosh, you know, people just have to protect themselves because he's looking anyways. He's growing his force anyhow. And, yeah, it's like, what do I do? Hold off and not inform people and try to equip them with the means to protect themselves? Because I just don't think so, you know, and I've kind of tossed that idea around, like, you know, could it be, you know, am I helping to spread this guy around? But I'm like, gosh, I don't know. People are reaching out to me still almost weekly to say, wow, I thought I was the only one. You know, so they didn't hear about this. So, yeah, that's the kind of emails that reassure me it's not me.
Let's go to Jason in Fenton, Missouri. Welcome to the program, Jace. The folks must be happy about the Cardinals win, huh?
Yeah, I am happy about the Cardinals win. Thank you for that, and thank you for your program.
Sure thing.
I'm a little bit worried about your program, because she seems more happy about selling her books or more happy about the fact that she's happy for the attention that she's able to find this dark energy instead of actually realizing that this dark energy, this dark shadow is actually a demonic presence. And instead of embracing the Catholic and the Christian world of getting rid of it and knowing that is a very demonic presence.
All right. Well, let's let you address that, Heidi.
There's nothing happy about it. And I always say I'm a Christian author who just so happens to write about the paranormal. I have 8 books out. Only 3 are on this dark topic, and the rest have Christian all throughout. So have a look at my Jesus is No Joke book or Picture Prayers or...
You have a personality. you have a personality, in your laugh, I think, is not one of a funny laugh. I think it's more of a nervous laugh, believe it or not.
For me, it's like, you know, I want people to talk about these topics as they would any other topic. Why do I have to shove a flashlight under my chin to be taken seriously? This is what's cowering people in their bedrooms to not come out and talk about it. But guess what? I'm approachable. And it's like I know how to clear a room when I want to. I could talk spooky. But where does that get me? It doesn't get people to, you know, to come up and want to talk to me. They go away, and they sit there with these questions. But, you know, actually I've had people tell me more often than not that they are more believing somebody like myself than that lonely person sitting on the couch saying, and then he came out of the closet. You know, I just have to keep it real. I was raised in a haunted house. I spoke about this stuff with my other 9 siblings. You know, we just kept it casual.
you know, not everybody has to carry on these topics like everybody else and keep the same level in order to be taken seriously. It's like, no, you know, we've got to break that mold. It's like, I don't understand that. It's like, oh, but you're laughing. Well, you know, I laugh about everything. You know, I kicked my knee really hard the other day, and guess what? I laughed.
You laughed, I bet.
Am I taking it serious?
I would guess it's your personality that if somebody fell, not that you would not feel bad about them, but you'd probably giggle.
Oh, no. Well, no, believe it or not, because I'm a therapist, an occupational therapist. So when it comes to somebody really injuring themselves, I'm really empathetic and sympathetic to that type of thing.
People do laugh about stuff like that, though.
Oh, if it was like somebody I know, well, you know I'm going to
somebody fell off a curb, people laugh. You know, a person sprawled on the street, and people are laughing at them.
Oh, that's terrible. No, that breaks my heart. Yeah, no, I'm sensitive to that kind of thing. But when it comes to the paranormal, I don't understand why people believe fit in the cookie cutter piece, or otherwise we're not going to believe you. Well, you know, I'm not out here to try to make believers out of everybody. I want people to have the means and the knowledge to be able to protect themselves. That's it, you know. It's like, my goodness, when you get to that point and you meet the hat man, remember this conversation. That's all I want, you know. And as for my books, people, for years, my books have been free on Amazon Prime. So have a look. I make a great living as a therapist. This is not the arena you want to get into if you want to make a good living off from it. No, these are a passion project. So check the records on that. I know people think, oh, gosh, you're just trying to sell your book. No, this is not what that's about. This is not. So, yeah, have a look.
Let's go to Nathan in Ohio. Welcome to the program, Nate. Go ahead.
Yeah, George. I usually call to talk about abduction. And what I was wanting to talk about was that around the time that I started understanding that I was somebody who had experienced abductions and things like that,
mm-hmm.
is when shadow people and things of that nature showed up in my life.
And it's still happening, isn't it?
It does happen. I think it happened a lot right away because I was in a negative place.
Yes.
I think being in a negative place draws negative things to you.
Did you also have the Hat Man episodes or just shadow people?
I've met beings that have claimed to be the devil, but I've never seen what I would consider the Hat Man.
What does the Hat Man take different disguises, Heidi?
He changes his outfit up a little bit. He might sometimes be seen in a brown suit or sometimes pinstripe pants or a cape instead of a trench coat. So he'll change it up sometimes. But his presence, the interesting thing, it's like people, it could be a pitch black room, but they could feel his presence and know it is that entity all the time. I found it interesting that the caller just now was talking about the alien abduction experience, being connected to the shadow people experience. And I had a heck of a time trying to get word of that out there. But now, as people look further into these topics, they're seeing that direct line.
And are you? Do you believe that?
Oh, from the start, my book, The Secret War. The first book, I spoke about the alien abduction connection to these beings. And so I came at it from a different perspective. And oddly enough, people that believe in ghosts, a lot of them don't believe in UFOs and vice versa. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
would you think that these creatures are more extraterrestrial or more demonic?
I think they come from out there and they have great knowledge of matters of the soul. I call them demons because they do answer to Jesus' name. Why is that? You know, same with these aliens. They answer to that. They will leave. And I've heard the argument of a lot of people who experience or research the alien abduction phenomenon. They're like, no, the aliens just let you believe that because, you know, the aliens made us. I'm like, oh, gosh. You know, I'm Christian. I'm never shy to say that. And it's like, you know, people will believe what they want to believe. And it's like, you know, again, not here to try to convince people of anything, but to offer answers to experiences that a lot of people are having, and to keep it comfortable. Laugh when you want to. Treat it like it. Talk about this like you would talk about any other topic in your life. You know, it's like, instead of slowing your roll, okay, I'm going to talk in my spooky voice now. You know, come on, I can do that, but that's not my personality.
First-time caller James in Kentucky. Welcome to the program, James. Good morning.
Hey, George.
Hey there.
Big fan for a lot of years.
Thank you, sir.
I'll finally be able to tell you that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I had an experience with one of these shadow things about probably about 12 years ago.
What happened?
I was working third shift at the time, and it was my night off, so I went to the grocery store about 3 o'clock in the morning. When I came back, I was coming up my sidewalk, and I saw this shadow, like, running out of my neighbor's yard.
Ooh.
Tore right toward me.
Just the shadow, yeah.
Yeah, I thought at first it was just like a looming shadow from maybe a jogger on the street, because
sure,
that's what it looked like. It was very athletic looking. It didn't have a hat on. It looked like a runner. You know, I'd say it was probably 6.5 to 7 feet tall. And I'd recently been robbed, so I was kind of paranoid. I was packing a pistol around everywhere I went at the time. I had my concealed carry. And I thought somebody was running up on me and was going to, you know, I don't know, brain me or something.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have my keys to the house, the car, everything.
Wow.
So I pulled that pistol out, and I was just about to say, I'll shoot you, when I realized what it was. It was darker than the night, and it was just what looked like a three-dimensional shadow.
How long did it hang around?
It was running straight at me. And so I didn't say anything after I saw what it was. And I was just, it was probably 10, 12 feet away. I was just about to pull the trigger anyway. And I don't know if it saw me, you know, I surprised it or what, but it did, like, I ran, like, it turned and did a half a circle around me and got back in line straight with me where it back was turned toward me. Now, the weird thing is, when it kind of got sideways with me, I couldn't see it. You know, that made me think maybe it was two-dimensional, and it was so thin I couldn't see it when it was sideways. But as it got a little further, I picked it up again.
And how did it finally disappear, James?
It just ran across the into my neighbor, the other neighbor's yard, and disappeared in the night.
So tell me about that part, Heidi, the running part. That's unusual.
Yeah, to see distinctive legs is unusual. If that's what he saw, distinctive legs or not, I don't generally hear of that, but I've heard of it every once in a while. But when something looks really like a person, I tend to think more of a ghost, to be honest, because the shadow beings, and they were never people. I call them shadow people, but that's not the case with what they really are. So can they take that form? I'm sure they could. And I've had people write me and say, look, I saw a shadow being, and, you know, it kind of had that little twisty look to him, but it looked kind of human.
Interesting. All right, Heidi, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment as we talk about the Hat Man and shadow people. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with Heidi Hollis as we talk about shadow people, the Hat Man, and so much. And I guess you would rather be confronted by a shadow person than a hat person, huh?
you could say that, that's for sure. And you know what? I have to tell you, George, I already got some messages from Freemasons. I don't think they're all evil, okay? My dad was a Freemason.
Right.
So it's like, it's okay, everybody. But I think there's higher rankings that people are not aware of. And, they need to dig deep. See what's going on.
Sedalia, Missouri, we go. David's with us. Hey, David, go ahead, sir.
Hey, George. Hi, Heidi. How are you all doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Hey. So first of all, I just want to say I completely believe in Hat Man. My sister went to Ireland several years ago, and she was visiting a cathedral, and she swears up and down there was nobody else behind her. In one of her pictures, there is a shadow with a kind of like a top hat. And we're big into like paranormal stuff, and she swears up and down it's Hat Man. So, and it's kind of creepy.
You gotta send me that picture. That sounds cool.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can find it, I'll send it to you. I was just gonna share a story. So when I was little, I was like 3 or 4. My mom and dad were living in a little trailer house out in the country, and weird stuff would always happen. And I would always ask my dad. I'd point down like a hallway and ask, "Who's that? Who's that?" My dad would turn around. There's nobody ever there. And eventually, I started getting really sick, and I was having these random just seizures all the time. Doctors couldn't figure out what was happening. And I remember having these horrible, horrible nightmares from my bedroom. I'd wake up, and I just felt like something was in there with me. And I still remember this to this day. And it was just horrible. And one day, I'm laying in bed, and I'm looking between my headboard and my mattress, and I remember this, and it sounds ridiculous, but I remember there being 4 little people. I would almost say like sprites, not fairies to a sense, but like just little people. And I kept remember them telling me, we're going to protect you. Everything's okay. And they had these like little instruments, like a flute, like a little lute. But I would always have these nightmares, but then these little people would show up, and they gave off like this really positive energy. Well, anyways, I was always freaked out of this room. So I begged my mom and dad to let me just sleep with them in their room. So my mom sets this cot up in their room one night, and I'm sleeping in this cot. And my mom wakes up, or my dad wakes up in the middle of the night, and he swears he sees me walking around the bed, and he goes, "David, go back to bed." And I'm still walking around. So my mom, this wakes my mom up, and she looks over, and I'm still in the cot. And they both see this figure just walking around the bed to my dad's side. So in the minute they turn this light on, the shadow just dissipated completely.
Oh, gosh. Oh, and, give me chills.
And I was still really sick at this time. And like right after that, we moved out of there. And the minute we moved out, I never had seizures again. I didn't have those illnesses.
Wow.
It was weird. So, but yeah, just kind of a crazy story I kind of wanted to share. So,
super.
Oh,
thanks,
I'm glad you did.
Thanks.
I have something in common with you. I had crazy seizures from the age of 2 until my parents built a brand new house and moved us out of there. And guess what? I saw little people as well.
Heidi, how many of us see shadow people out of the side of our eyes? We catch a glimpse of something that we knew or know rushed by, and I think it's a shadow person.
I think it is too, oftentimes. And a lot of people are like, well, why do I see it in my peripheral vision? And you know, we have these cones on the side of our vision that it's very primal. So we see things creeping up on us from our peripheral vision. It's more sensitive to the differences between lights and darks. So that's why we're able to spot things and not always see it head on, especially if it's just a fluctuation between the lights and the dark. So I think that I think a lot of us are keen to picking up on their presence, and because it's getting crowded out there. To be honest,
sure is. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. Heidi, very fascinating information. And I wanted to ask you, Heidi, traditionally in the Middle Ages in Europe and in England, the magical text called grimoires would describe demons. And it sounds quite a bit like Hat Man. And my question is, are there identifying characteristics of demons? For example, you know, traditionally, a demon standing in front of a mirror would have no reflection, or a demon out in bright sunlight would cast no shadow, or a demon might have a slight smell, a smell of sulfur, say, or a demon might have eyes that shapeshift. You know, they look normal, but then you look again and they're like reptilian or, you know, slit-shaped irises and pupils, etc. And I'm curious about that. And I guess the other question I have is, if Hat Man, demons don't have the same limitations in time and space as human beings. So a demon can manifest simultaneously in several locations. So I'm curious, is there an underlying traditional demonic name to Hat Man that we can summon it and bind it in an exorcism?
Oh boy.
Does it have a name, Heidi?
I have honestly, you know, a lot of people have asked me, have you ever put yourself out there for an exorcism where the Hat Man is involved? And I haven't gone to that extent just yet. But, oh, man, would that be interesting to see if he would cough up his actual name instead of toying with people the way that he does, giving them old Scratch. You know, he'd say his name is Scratch. He's called himself, what was it? I think somebody told me Stanley once. I'm like, come on now. And then the more recent instances have him been calling himself Hat Man. So he's not being honest and he's not being direct about exactly who he is. But I think it would be definitely interesting to be in that situation, to have the right team. Because again, you know, what makes me leery and weary is this entity really does not like me, and me putting myself out there in the midst of such a thing, I think it could end really badly for me unless I mm-hmm. have the right protection around me. I would definitely love that opportunity to, kind of have a face-to-face with this guy, and he is a demon, but he'll say he's the demon of all demons. And by what he says and does, and he is in more than one place at a time. Usually there's only one of him seen, and there could be a room full of shadow beings. And, he'll claim to be the top dog of them all. And from what people tell me, you're asking about their telltale signs of to say this is a hat being or a hat man. You know, I can't say he falls into a mythological creature, so to speak, like no reflection and whatnot. But the one distinctive thing, even if he kind of changes up his look, is when people close their eyes, he feels the same. His presence is the same. Even when these recruited people, it feels the same. It's like an extension of Hat Man.
At what point does Hat Man become more violent?
People who have, especially women that have had a lot of encounters with him, and he becomes rapey. He will rape women. He's also been known to do it to men, but mostly women. So it's when he gets close enough and a constant presence, almost like he baits these women. He tries to make them feel secure, and he's a protector. And then he slides into their bed, and he gets to be rapey. It's disturbing.
Joe in Monterey, California. Go ahead, Joseph.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure, Joe.
Hi, Heidi. I waited a couple of months, and you finally came back. and you're still here, of course.
Yes, yes, with my laugh and all.
this sounds like an extraterrestrial life form, a computer-generated simulation, because it is growing and it's learning. Each encounter, it learns, just like a computer. This can be a very advanced form of computer life. It is demonic in nature. It's evil, and it does feed off our energy. At first, it used to be flat. They used to be flat, like a two-dimensional, but now it's learning three-dimension, and it's learning from us. It's learning from our technology.
It's evolving, isn't it?
Yes, and it's growing.
That is an interesting theory to call it a technology. They, because they work alongside of these so-called aliens that have very demonic qualities as well, it can make you wonder, you know, is this some kind of technological advancement that they're utilizing to get into people's homes? But what is this ability to reach into somebody's chest and rip their soul out? What is that? And why is he threatening to take them to the pits of hell? Why does he smell like sulfur sometimes? Why is he raping? Why is he abusing? Why is he, you know, doing all of these horrible things that are such a definitive definition from the Bible to say what evil is, what a demon is? I mean, if he's not fitting the bill, I don't know what is.
You think he's the devil, don't you?
I sure am leaning towards that. I mean, I wish I had, you know, no one has all the answers, but it's like I sure am leaning towards that he's not lying about that element. And his duty, what he's doing and pulling people together to follow his cause, to do his job that he feels is his job, to reap souls. I mean, reaping souls. This is what he's telling them to do. What could
collecting
that be?
Them. He's collecting them.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris, truck driving in Canada. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey, Chris.
I'm glad I got through. I had an experience with these shadow people. The only kind of paranormal thing that's ever really happened to me, so I'm glad I got through to talk to this lady. I started with my ex-wife. She was an alcoholic, and I had been enabling her for a while, not knowingly, but so somebody said, you know, you got to stop that, and the moment I did, she was going to get away with my son. They were going to go, you know, get some time away down in Kentucky. But I had made that decision. I wasn't going to buy booze for her anymore. And
yeah.
The time that they were gone, during that period they were gone, I woke up for work, and there was this dark figure standing beside the bed, and I could not move. I struggled to move. I was terrified of it. And it just resonated hatred toward me, and it punched me and knocked me out, I swear to God.
Jeez.
So I went to work, got up, you know, just forgot about it, went to work, chalked it up to some kind of illusion. But the following night, again, I wake up, my back's against the ceiling, my feet are dangling toward the floor, and my dog, Bubba, he's floating beside me, and, you know, there's things swirling in the house, and that dark figure has its arm toward us, pointing to us, with the same amount of hatred.
Wow.
And just crazy. So that was it. You know, things didn't work out with my wife and I, and her problem escalated, and we ended up getting divorced, and, you know, I got custody of my son. But you know, so years later now, I'm in my one bedroom apartment, you know, I wake up, I'm laying on the couch, and that dark figure is there.
Oh.
And
never left you alone, did it?
And Bubba jumped into it, and it disappeared. My dog jumped into it.
Was the dog okay?
Yeah. Bubba ended up dying. He went blind and got diabetes. I don't think it was a result of that, but, you know, he was getting up there. But it wasn't too long after that incident that he died.
Jeez, the clock's got us now. Heidi, thank you again. Always great talking to you. Heidi Hollis, her websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Denheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, Tim Bedall, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.